Good afternoon, Lake Norman, and welcome to Town Talk. We're coming to you live from WSIC, the Real Talk studio nestled on the banks of beautiful Lake Norman, streaming worldwide from Honolulu, Hawaii to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Population 453,618 people. I'm your host, Bill Russell, president of Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, the largest chamber of commerce in the Charlotte region. My guests today are Richard Pappas. He's the senior vice president for First National Bank. Patrick Coleman, who is the president of the Lake Norman Pickleball Association, and Lauren Ewald. She is executive director of FunPulse.org. Bill, have you ever been to Virginia Beach, Virginia?
I have, actually.
Okay, we have somebody here from Virginia Beach.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't tell you who.
Okay, who's here from Virginia Beach?
There you go.
Excellent.
Richard, you're the finance chair. Do you know what the median home price range in Virginia Beach is? I said finance chair, but you're a finance guy. The median home price in Virginia Beach?
I'd say maybe $300,000.
This guy, that's why he's financed, $317,366. Average rent, about $1,200. Do you know what it is here in Cornelius?
It's got to be $500,000.
That's why he does what he does. $535,000. Yeah. $535,000. Huntersville, $450,000. Mooresville, Huntersville's $530,000. Mooresville's $450,000. But it's up 12.5% from last year.
I do cheat a little bit, Bill. I look at the Zillow numbers every year. And so they keep reminding me and keeping me straight.
Lauren's from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And now you're the executive director of Fund Pulse. What is Fund Pulse?
Fund Pulse. So we provide philanthropic fundraising services to nonprofits, sometimes corporations who have partnerships with nonprofits as their corporate charity partner. And we basically help them fundraise. We focus all of our resources on fundraising events, fundraising campaigns, capital campaigns, donor solicitation management, all those kind of things.
I was looking at your website, funpulse.org, mm-hmm. and there was a whole host of services you provide. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the other things that you do for these nonprofits.
Yeah, so a lot of times I'll find that nonprofits, they just need help because they don't know where to start with fundraising. They don't know who to go to. They don't know how to put together professional materials so that they can make a professional ask. Sometimes they don't even know, what kind of loans or grants or, grant writing resources there are available to them. So I will help them find those things. Eventually, I'd like to put grant writing in my resume of services offered. But I do still need to get some training on those first.
Now, you just started this nonprofit, didn't you?
I did. I just opened up the business this year. But I've been in the nonprofit industry for about 10 years in a volunteer capacity for the most part. I only held one position that it was paid position for a nonprofit. And then I thought, I'm just going to do this on my own because I just can help so many more people if I can work with more than one charity at a time.
So you were working with nonprofits. Were you working in a sponsorship capacity, seeking sponsorships?
Yes, sir. So I would do any kinds of fundraising events. I would help out a lot with writing their SOPs. Sometimes I would go in and the nonprofit would have everything up in their head and nothing was on paper. So helping them get their documents together. And like I said, basically just the fundraising portion of it, because a lot of nonprofits, they spend so much time and on their mission, and that's where their dedication really is. That's what they do best. And that's where I want them to stay. I want them to stay focusing on the community and who they serve. And what FundPulse will do is come in and help you fundraise to continue your programming and hopefully to expand your programming so that you can increase your impact as well.
Now, your background is human resources, right?
Yes, I did a little bit of human resources, mostly workman's comp, some benefits administration, and I did some legal stuff for them, too. It was a small company, so we wore a lot of hats, so I was doing a lot of the legal
stuff. Now, I know you and your husband moved down here. What brought you down to Lake Norman?
My husband did his job. He worked for Ingersoll Rand. He was in marketing for about 9 years, and he had a territory up in Virginia Beach, which is where we met. And then he brought me down here, and he's moved over to train since then. But I do always say he never would have gotten me here if it hadn't been for the lake coming from the beach. I wouldn't have been landlocked like that.
Now, Richard, you've been treasurer of Ada Jenkins at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, treasurer of the board. Okay. Yeah.
And in Rotary, you're past chair of Rotary, and you're the treasurer now of the Rotary in Davidson, Patrick.
Yep.
How important is the fundraising capacity for any nonprofit, be it Ada Jenkins or a Rotary?
Fundraising is key. I mean, it keeps the systems going and be able to continue to make the offerings to client partners, whether you're talking about a Rotary or any organization. So fundraising is key, but she's right. A lot of organizations are focused on their key mission and taking care of people, and they lose track of the expertise that's involved in fundraising, and they rely on volunteers. Mm-hmm. And it's less effective.
Yeah,
and our Rotary Club, be it Davidson or here in Cornelius at Lake Norman, we're always having it through the volunteer members. We don't go outside, but Ada, it does sometimes rely on other organizations to help. I know the capital campaign of a few years back was orchestrated through another organization, right?
Well, that was just strictly capital, and so we're well past that. And at this point, we have staff that focuses on grant writing and doing lots of other facets of support. And when we lured Harold Rice to be our CEO here, he had a lot of connections within organizations, philanthropic organizations, and got us plugged into new sources. And so we've been able to diversify and grow, and we're doing a lot more collaboration with other organizations, which has brought us in even more sources of funding. So we've been able to do a lot more with more. So it's been really
I know we have a very successful golf tournament. What is the number one fundraising mechanism for the Davidson Club?
Our biggest fundraising event is the Christmas in Davidson.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
We do the Giving Tree Village, where we sponsor, we've cut it back now to 60 trees, where we get businesses that will sponsor a nonprofit, and then they decorate the trees, and we have online and in-person voting. This year, we gave away probably about $55,000 to nonprofits in the area. So,
how many members in the Davidson Rotary Club?
It fluctuates between 25 and 30.
And our club used to be upwards of 100, but how many do we have now, Richard?
We're about 80.
Yeah.
And so if you think about what they're able to do with limited members, it truly is amazing. And we have such a great community of support.
Yeah, it's an all hands on board when we do the Christmas in Davidson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're talking about Rotary. For people who may not be familiar and are listening to this, share, what is Rotary, Richard?
Well, Rotary is kind of an interesting organization. It started in the early 1900s in Chicago. A group of businessmen got together and decided they wanted to network with each other. They actually kept track of referrals to each other. The original president was an attorney in town, and they realized they had no public restrooms in downtown Chicago. So that was the first nonprofit fundraising event that they did to give back to the community. They made a public restroom. It started to grow, and it grew internationally, and it's done amazing work. The Polio Plus initiatives have all but eradicated polio around the world. I mean, it's an opportunity to be part of something that's global, whether it's, you know, water or food or shelter in these third world countries, or it's a project just down the road. You know, it's an opportunity to be part of something on a local and global basis.
When we get back from our sponsors, we're going to continue talking to Lauren on some of the things she's been involved with for Miller Run.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that. We're going to go to our sponsors and hear a little bit from them, and we'll be right back. For those of you who are watching us on some of our social platforms, on Facebook, on Twitter, X, it's not Twitter, it's X.
Yeah,
X.
The other thing, yes, whatever X, that is.
X, LinkedIn, YouTube, all the other platforms. Thank you for staying with us. We use this opportunity, Patrick, to talk about some of the Chamber of Commerce activities. Tomorrow, April 4th, we have a coffee connection, 8:30 to 10 o'clock in the morning. So we've got that going on. It's going to be at Purify IV, which is right here in Jaton Village, and we've got that going on. It's an opportunity to network. So if even if you're not a Chamber of Commerce member, come out and see what we do in terms of networking with our Chamber of Commerce members. Then we're having Phoenix Physical Therapies having an open house 4 to 7. That's going to be next week, and that's in Charlotte, but it's down there around North Lake Mall, so it's very close by. WINS this coming Tuesday, April 9th, 8 to 10:30. That is our Women Influencing Networking and Sharing Group. So that's primarily Dr. Coleman, that's an opportunity where it's usually women speakers, usually women topics, but doesn't mean you and Richard can't go attend the WINS meetings. They meet right here at H2, so that's taking place next Tuesday. Carrie Torn-Cello is a seasoned professional who has a wealth of experience in coaching, and she is going to be the speaker. She's with Engage Coaching. Networking. Richard, I don't know if you saw this. We had 58 networking events had 98 networking events last year. We had 58 professional development seminars, 98 networking events. That's a lot. That's two a week.
It's a lot, but I'm not surprised. I mean, our chamber is the best. It's not only the largest chamber in the area, but it's the best. I mean, we truly give lots of opportunities for people that can plug in at any point in given time.
Why is networking so important for a local business?
You know, I think it just gets your name out. When I first came up from Charlotte to this community 22 years ago, I didn't know anybody. And so I got involved in the Rotary Club and the chamber. And boy, what a way to get 300 friends immediately. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just awesome. So it was just a great way to get plugged in and meet people that introduce you to other people.
Well, we're going to go back to our radio in just a minute. Thanks. You have been watching us on streaming, and we'll be right back to Town Talk in just about 15 seconds.
Now more Town Talk with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to Town Talk. We're talking to Lauren Ewald. She's Executive Director of Fun Pulse. Patrick Coleman, who is the President of Lake Norman Pickleball Association. Richard Pappas, who is the Senior Vice President for First National Bank. Before we went on break, though, Lauren, we were talking about Vermilla Run that you founded a couple years before COVID, I think. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about that. But tell us, what was the Vermilla Run?
The Vermilla Run. So when I was social committee chair for our HOA in the Vermilion, a lot of the residents over the years, I think I did it for about 2 or 3 years before somebody actually attended one of my meetings and said, I want to help you plan a charity race or, a local race. And I said, oh, that would be a lot of fun. You know, we have this huge network of volunteers. There's, at the time there was about 1,000 residents in our neighborhood. So we had a really good base of volunteers. And all we needed, I knew, was a charity partner so that when we were fundraising, selling tickets, or soliciting sponsorships, then in the end, we would have something great to give to one of our nonprofits right here in the community. So we put together the Vermilla Run, the 5K. I think 2018 was our first year, and we had a super successful first year, so we did it again. We chose a different charity. The first year, we had a cure in sight. Ocular Melanoma Cancer Research and Awareness Organization. And the second year we partnered with Heinz Feet Farm, who provides daytime programming, and they do housing as well for traumatic brain injury patients. And the third year, our charity partner was Claire's Army, which is another local nonprofit that provides support services to families in recently diagnosed with pediatric cancer over at Hemby and at Levine Children's Hospitals.
And then COVID hit.
Yep. Bam. 1 week before our race date. And I was in tears because 18 months of planning is a lot, and all our volunteers, and it was heartbreaking. It really was. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get it back together again because, kind of COVID just dissipated a little bit, and then so did the volunteers. And everybody, once the world opened back up again, everybody was like, okay, we're hitting running, and now I got to go back to work and do this and my kids. And so there really wasn't anything left for anybody. Mm-hmm. But I would like to bring it back one day.
I've talked about Patrick as the president of Lake Norman Pickleball Association. Mm-hmm. But in your former life, 38 years, I think, in practice here, Carolina Oral Surgery. Yep. 38 years?
Yeah. Been in Charlotte area now 39 years.
So Dr. Coleman. Yeah. And Richard, I'll tell you a little story. I'm going down the road, and I had just had a temporary filling put in a tooth, and it came out, but I said, okay, it wasn't painful or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have it taken care of by Dr. Mark Tompkins. And I decided to eat a Snickers bar, and that Snickers bar has got a little peanut in it. Mm-hmm. And I chomped down on that Snickers bar, and it broke the tooth over here. And so, but it was still there. And so I called Dr. Tompkins. I said, can you seal that thing back up and seam it back together and put that filling in there. He said, No, it's got to come out. And I'm going like, well, why? You can cement it back together, right?
Yeah, you just put some glue
in. You can't cement the tooth. It's going to have to be extracted. We got to pull that tooth. But fortunately, I have somebody that can do it. And Dr. Coleman, he extracted the tooth and then put an implant in, because then you weigh whether or not you want to have a tooth put in there. Of course, that was a molar. I guess probably not the right word to use, I guess, but it was a back tooth. And then also you got the whole thing. If you don't, then the spacing of the teeth go out of alignment. But did a spectacular job. But before we get to that, though, what did COVID do in terms of your practice? Because a lot of people put off surgeries during that time. Were you even able to operate?
Fortunately, I was retired at that time.
Oh, you had already retired.
Thankfully, yes. But it was a difficult time for all medical practices.
Right.
Because that's where a lot of the online medical visits and everything started, was during COVID, and now they've become fairly routine. But it was hard times. I mean, because, you know, they had to change everything the way they did it, their infection policies and everything else. It was hard. And I'm glad that I was not there at that point.
So you really weren't shepherding through.
Yeah.
And Richard, I've said this before to you. First National Bank, there were superheroes that emerged in that whole PPP process. Some of the larger banks, particularly in that first phase of PPP, did not do an extremely good job. I won't say which banks they were.
I'll let you say that.
Some of the smaller community banks did an extremely good job. Mm-hmm. And First National was absolutely one of those who was there for our local businesses.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I wouldn't call us superheroes, although I do have the cape at home, but I appreciate that. It was a challenging time to support the community and our clients, but we did it. It was all hands on deck. There were people who did not do anything to do with loans, and they were on the phone, they were handling things, they were working all hours of the night, our back office people, even tellers were manning phones, and we were there, we stepped up, we worked 12, 13, 14 hour days, and it was rough, but you do what you have to do to serve the community, and so I was really proud of us.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Coleman, your practice, you did sell it, but you had Carolina Oral. I think your nephew now operates you want to share a little bit about your former business that you started?
Yeah, I started in Charlotte in 1985 and started by myself. I was by myself for about 5 years. And then in the next 5 years, it went from me to five. And we had offices started in the university area back when University Hospital was first open. I think I was one of the first four doctors that were on staff there. And you could hear echoes down the hallways because there wasn't anybody there. But in the next 5 years, it grew to five. We had an office in Concord, an office up here at the lake, and one down in Charlotte. And it just continued to grow and grow and grow. And it just got to a point where that baby that I started wasn't exactly the same baby that grew up. And it probably affected me more than everybody else. So it was like the late 90s. I went back. I bought the Lake Norman office from the practice and went back practicing by myself. And then a couple years later, my nephew came in with me. He was with us for about 12 years before he bought the practice. And then we brought in a third person basically to take my place. And once he came on, I dropped back to 3 days a week until he bought in as a partner. And then I told him it was time for me to mount the pony and ride off into the sunset. So,
you know, I have to tell you, though, when Mark told me that I had to have my tooth extracted, and then we talked the whole thing about implants and how they're going to drill a hole into my gum, and I'm thinking, I don't really think I want to do any of this, you know, but you had to extract the tooth, and then I went over and you guys did a fantastic job. You were my surgeon. It was before you retired, so you took care of that. And it was not nearly as painful. I think the thought process was more painful than the actual extraction and everything else you did.
Yeah. Well, it typically is. You know, the anesthesias today, you know, we can do a lot of great things with keeping people comfortable as we're doing what we do, because nobody wants to be there. And, you know, our whole philosophy was always to treat people better than everybody else. And I always said that if we treat people right and we do the right thing, the money will follow. And it always did. And, you know, we just tried to treat people the way we'd like to be treated if we went in the office. And that was kind of why our practice grew so big and so fast in the Lake area.
Well, Dr. Coleman, you have now officially turned the reins over to the nephew. You've retired, and now you're playing pickleball. And you're not only playing pickleball, you are the president of the Lake Norman Pickleball Association. And I got to tell you, when we had the candidate debates, forums, they weren't debates. We had the candidate forums in Huntersville, and they're asking questions of the candidates running for office. They're asking about how many pickleball courts would you approve if you were a town election official? And I really couldn't believe that's the question. It wasn't land codes. It wasn't zoning. It wasn't budget. They want to know about pickleball courts that you're going to bring here as an elected official. So
hot topic.
Pickleball, where does the name, I mean, that is a really kind of unusual. Where did the name come from, a pickleball? And what is the sport?
Well, the sport started in 1965 on Bainbridge Island off the coast of Seattle. And everybody thought that the original name started because the people that started it, they had a badminton net and they lowered it down. They actually fashioned paddles out of wood in the woodworking shop there and started playing. And they used an old wiffle ball and started it. Came up with some rules and everything. And they had the thought was is they had a dog that was named Pickle.
Oh, really?
And that's how they got pickleball. But it wasn't. It was actually a rowing ship something that it's called the pickle ship or something like that. And that's how the name originated. So anyway, they got pickleball. It's a funny name for the fastest growing sport in the country right now.
Sure.
And I believe it'll probably be an NCAA intercollegiate sport within 5 years.
How did you get into it?
How did I get into it? Well, I had had a right knee replacement,
mm-hmm.
and my wife actually started. She started playing. She says, "You got to try this." And it was getting to the point where my knee was, you know, getting to the point where I could start doing things again. And I said, "All right." So we took a lesson from Jenny Butler up at the Lake Norman pickleball or tennis center. And after that, I was hooked. I mean, it's a very social sport, and it's fun. It's something, it's a sport that's easy to pick up, very tough to master.
Sure.
But it's a very easy sport for people to start. And it started, you know, back in the 60s and all that was, you know, the mainly retirees and older people. And now it's gotten into the younger generation is picking it up. The number one rated woman in the world just turned 17. And she's been playing on the pro tour for 5 years now, since she was 12 years old.
Now, were you a tennis person?
I was in my younger days, and nothing, just recreational. I never played competitively or anything, but I've always been involved in sports and to one degree or another.
Lauren, you play pickleball?
No, sir. I am not.
We can teach you, Lauren.
I am not the person you want on your pickleball team or any team for that matter.
You know, my wife said the same thing. She has never done anything.
Really?
Sport.
You think
cheerleading,
I could do it?
Nothing. And she was the most uncoordinated, but she has really gotten
She's
really
picked
good
up on it, huh?
Yeah,
maybe I do need to get out there with some of my friends. A lot of my friends play.
It's a lot of fun. It's addicting.
Lauren says she's not much of on sports, but we're going to introduce her to that. For those of you who are with us today on Town Talk, stay with us because we're coming back and we're going to talk all things pickleball on WSIC Town Talk. For those of you who are streaming with us on all of our social platforms, thanks for staying with us. We have a program coming up April the 12th where we have Titus Bartolotta. When it comes to human capital, you know, Titus is going to talk about building a winning team. So whether you're on the board of the Pickleball Association or Rotary or Ada Jenkins, Titus, who he has been a philanthropist, a published author, an entrepreneur. He's a business coach. He is going to be talking to us at the Chamber of Commerce. It is $10, but it covers basically we're going to have a meal. And so by the time you pay, you can't even buy a meal these days for $10. Mm-hmm. So, but he is also the author of The Master Within, which he wrote just before COVID in 2018. You know who wrote the foreword to his book, The Master Within?
Did you write it?
I wrote the foreword. It's actually the best part of his book.
No, I'm just like, nah.
The Master Within. But he is a John Maxwell business coach. And again, I think one of my favorite authors business authors is John Maxwell. You read a lot of John Maxwell books?
I've read a couple of them, yes.
Lauren, you're HR. You've got to have read some John Maxwell.
No, actually, I haven't.
Really?
But now I'm going to have to get a copy from Titus because he's a neighbor.
Okay. Well, you need to come to that program that we're having on the 12th. That's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Titus Bartolotta is a fantastic speaker, so you'd really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Very dynamic. We were talking before the show started that, Lauren, you're going through Leadership Lake Norman. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, your next session is coming up. It's going to be community infrastructure. You know where Lauren's going this month?
Oh, boy.
Where's that?
The wastewater treatment plant. The nice. Wastewater treatment plant, the water treatment plant, the Lee Duke Center. Mm-hmm. Also going to be hearing from North Carolina DOT and CAT. So that's going to be community infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. You know, for some reason, when I went through leadership, we weren't able to go to the wastewater center. So I think it was closed for something. So I escaped that smell.
The wastewater treatment. It is I try not to take them right before lunch. it is a, you know, but you think about it. If you're somebody who lives in town, I'm on a well. Actually, in Huntersville, I'm on a well. So both, I'm not on Charlotte Water. But if you're somebody who lives in the city and you turn on your faucet, do you ever really think about how you got this water? We don't really think about that. When we flush the toilet, we don't really think that it's being processed. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to get a chance to go to the wastewater treatment plant, treatment plant here from DOT. That's your next. Oh, yeah.
I've heard it's some people's favorite.
Oh, it's memorable. You'll never forget it. And a graduate of Leadership Lake Norman over here, too, Richard Pappas.
Cool. Long, long time ago. Yep. I went through with Ginger Griffin.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good class. All right. For those of you streaming with us, we're going back live on Town Talk in just a few seconds. Thank you for staying with us.
Call now to speak with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell at 844-STUDIO-4. It's Town Talk on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. We're here with Richard Pappas. He's the Senior Vice President of First National Bank. Dr. Patrick Coleman, who is the President of Lake Norman Pickleball Association. Lauren Ewald, she's the Executive Director of PhonePulse.org. And we were talking about pickleball, a sport that everybody's talking about. Our Rotary, I don't think we have a Rotary meeting that pickleball's not brought up by someone in there. Jack's usually the one bringing it up. Jack Chimko.
Well, Bill, next Rotary year, starting in July, I'll be the fundraising chair. So I think I need to speak with both of these folks about doing a pickleball fundraiser.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's the way to go.
Dr. Coleman, I saw you at a public workshop just about a month ago, and you were down there, and that's when you sit. Because I said, what are you doing now? And you said, I'm retired, but I'm president of this association. And then you told me how many members the Lake Norman Pickleball Association had, and it just blew me away. Share that.
Yeah, well, I took over as president. It'll be almost 2 years ago. My term will be up at the end of July. And when I took over, we had about 150 members. Today, we have 1,153 or 1,154, something like that. So in 2 years, it's grown dramatically.
Wow. And you're not aware of this yet, but we are going to tap you for the membership chair of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce next. But yeah, 1,100 and something members in pickleball.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been the membership growth has been exponential.
Yeah, so.
And I talked about we were down there at a Town of Cornelius public workshop, and Jack and Robin Salzman mm-hmm. were introducing their new project, which is the pickleball serve and kitchen, and an exciting project that they've got. They're going to be introducing, I think it's 16 courts in 16?
16 courts, yeah. There'll be 10 indoor courts and 6 outdoor courts.
Right.
Along with a full bar and restaurant and a cafe, which will be separate from the pickleball. So it's going to be serious pickleball, but it's also going to be nice. Jack told me, he said, you know, Pat, I want somebody who can go in and have a beer, but they can also go in and have a martini.
Right.
So and it's going to be nice.
And it was going to be 8 and 8, but what they're trying to do, they're trying to be real respectful of the neighbors. And so they're going to move 10 in and put them inside.
Right. So they could move the outdoor courts farther away just from, you know, because there's a neighborhood right behind where this is going. So he met with some of the neighbors in the surrounding neighborhood there and talked to them. And after talking to them, decided to put 10 indoor and 6 outdoor.
And for the golfers, 4 simulators, I think is what it is, for Top Golf.
4 Top Golf simulators mm-hmm. in a separate room. Yeah.
So you got that. One of the things that Robin was insistent on is a community room, because she's huge on nonprofits. So she's going to have a community room that will accommodate, I think, 80 to 100 or something like
that. Yeah, so I think it's 70 to 80 people. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was 50, but they decreased the size of the pro shop that they're going to have there to increase the size of the community room. So it'll be, I think, 70 to 80 people, something like that. You can go in, rent it, have your meetings there. They have a full restaurant and catering service and all that, so they can provide meals and all that for them too.
And Jack used to own the Lake Norman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. He sold that about a couple years ago, I guess. And so this will be located sort of behind the new dealership that has been introduced. How exciting is that as the president of the Pickleball Association?
Well, it's 2024 is going to be a great year for pickleball in the Lake Norman area. We've been working real hard over the last 2 years, and up until just recently, the only dedicated pickleball courts in the whole area were at Holbrook Park in Huntersville, where they have six. When I started, the only thing we had in the Cornelius-Davidson area was we had four temporary courts on the tennis courts over at Robbins Park. And since then, we've put six temporary courts on the Torrance Chapel tennis courts there, and the town was graciously enough, with a little urging from me, to resurface that area and do the painting of the pickleball courts, and also to buy these Pro Series nets, which are very similar to a dedicated court, but they're on wheels so they can be moved out of the way so the tennis courts can be used. So we have those 10 temporary. Davidson has six temporary courts at Plum Creek. But now in 2024, Cornelius is building 14 new dedicated pickleball courts. Four in the Torrance Chapel Park, 10 at the new Bailey Road master plan that's being finished this year. And also Davidson is doing three dedicated courts at Plum Creek. So we've got those 17. And River Run is in the process of, Country Club is in the process of constructing six new courts there. They'll be done somewhere in the June, July timetable. The Peninsula is getting ready to start construction on six new ones. And the Point Country Club just finished six new courts up there. So between all of that, between Jack and Robin's place, between all the public courts and the private courts, by the end of this year, we should have 50 new dedicated pickleball courts in the 50. Lake Norman area, and it still won't be enough.
And that doesn't include like the rec center that does temporary. There's a lot of play in there.
Right, right. But these will be outdoor surfaces indoors at Jack's place. So,
do you find working with our elected leadership has been easy to move some of these projects forward?
Cornelius has been real good, and I have a real good working relationship with Troy Fitzsimmons, the Parks and Rec director. And we've developed a good relationship, and you know, it's been trying at times, but you know, he's been honest with me. I'll be honest with him, and we've been able to work through some things. And along with Woody Washam and a couple of the other town board members, and been able to get some things done. And they've been receptive, and you know, they've heard it from the citizens. They know that this is something that's needed, and they've been responsive. And especially with Bailey Road coming up, they finally, the board has allotted the money to complete the master plan over at Bailey Road, which will include six new tennis courts in phase one, and the existing three tennis courts that are there now will be converted to 10 dedicated pickleball courts.
Dr. Coleman, we talked about the growth of your organization. What are the benefits to belonging to the Lake Norman Pickleball Association? I mean, what do you get for belonging?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's only $30 a year, so which is great. And but we run all the open plays for the town of Cornelius at Torrance Chapel and Robbins Park. So you get, and some of those are member-only open plays. So if you're a member, you can come play during those times. Some of them are public open plays, but we run them for the town. And then same thing with the town of Davidson. We run the open plays over there. We also run two major tournaments a year. We have one in March, our St. Paddle's Day tournament. And then
that's clever.
And then in October, our Fall Classic. So we run those two tournaments, and the members get priority sign up so that they can register a week before It opens to the general public, and they also get a discount on the registration for the tournaments. We also have four socials a year that we do outside of the pickleball courts, usually at the local breweries and all that, and those are free to members. And
if somebody wanted to get involved in the Lake Norman Pickleball Association, how would they do that?
Well, lknpickleball.com. That'll take you to the Lake Norman Pickleball Association's website. And there's a tab on the left side that says join. You can click on that and
there you go.
Pay your $30 and you're a member.
What's your term? How long do you serve as president?
2 years.
2 years.
So my 2 years will be up at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a ride.
Lauren, I asked you, and if you had ever played pickleball. Richard, I don't know that I asked you. Have you played pickleball?
I am not a pickleballer, but I've got to pick it up, apparently. I think it's definitely something that's real popular. And I had always heard when it first started that, you know, it was kind of there for those that were tennis enthusiasts and, mm-hmm. and maybe had bad knees or couldn't run around as much. But man, it's really grown since then, and it's become that dedicated sport. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Confession, I've never played pickleball either. I played when I was in high school and college, I lived to play tennis. I mean, I was never on a tennis team, but I probably played tennis 2 or 3 times a week from the time I was 15 to 30. But I can't really honestly say I've been in a while. Jeff Tart and I were supposed to play, and then it came up a really bad storm. We didn't play. Now, Jeff plays a lot of tennis. I'm not sure. Does he play pickleball?
I don't know. I haven't seen him on the
okay,
courts.
Jeff Tart. Yeah, yeah.
I have heard the games, the pickup games at the breweries, you can hold your beer while you're playing.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Like I said, it's real social.
Yeah, it's a social.
But, point. You know, the tennis people are getting into it. Now, a lot of conversion of tennis players, pro tennis players to the pro pickleball tours. You may have heard of Jack Sock, who lives here at River Run, was at River Run. I think he sold his house there, but he still lives out in that area. But Jack is now playing full-time professionally on the pickleball.
Is the court size differently for pickleball?
It's about a third of the size of a tennis court.
So it's a third of the size.
Yeah, 20 feet by 44 feet.
So you're not covering as much area, but you're probably reacting quicker.
A lot quicker. When you get, we have a line that one of the rules that makes it different from tennis is the kitchen line.
For
the,
sure.
The non-volleys, technically the non-volley zone line. And you cannot go in there. You can't run up to the net and volley a ball out of the air like you can in tennis. You have to let the ball bounce in that kitchen area before you can hit it. So if we let people go right up to the net and bang the ball, it wouldn't be much of a game. So, every segment of the population is getting involved in it, and it grew 52% alone in just 2023.
Wow!
So
they're offering summer camps for kids now.
Yeah, we run those for the town of Cornelius too. We'll have 2 this year, 1 in June and 1 in August that we're running. They're full, 36 kids each time.
Lauren, what's it going to take to get you on a pickleball court?
A lot of martinis. A lot of martinis.
Is that allowed? Is martinis allowed on the pickleball court?
Well, you know, it'd probably
maybe
best to wait.
Jack's new place.
At Jack's new place, it might. But it might be better to wait until after the pickleball to drink the martinis.
Oh, I hear you. And Richard, we got to get out there and do that. That would be a lot of fun.
There you go.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk to Richard Pappas. He has been my business banker here at the Chamber of Commerce for quite a while. And again, someone who has worked with us very closely as the past chair of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. So those of you who are with us, stay with us on Town Talk. We'll be right back. Those of you who are streaming with us on all of our platforms on X, I didn't say Twitter, X, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the rest, thank you for staying with us. Talk about some of the Chamber of Commerce activities. Last time we were talking about leadership, Lake Norman. Lauren's going through leadership now. Richard, you've gone through leadership. Richard, you're a past chair of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, served 6 years on the board of directors. When you look back on your 6 years of being on the board, what do you feel like was the thing that you remember most about something that you were participated in?
You know, it would have to be standing in front of a large group of fellow chamber members as the chairman, the new chairman, yes. Telling everyone in, February of 2020, what a wonderful, incredible year we were going to have and what we were going to do and list out our pre-accomplishments.
Heartbreaking year.
And then everything kind of went south. And so that was a pivotal year. You know, Bill, you continue to support organizations by eating at every restaurant in town.
Yeah, and keeping
our organization going. We pivoted to outdoor fundraising and just kept survival mode. And it was so we kept serving while other chambers and organizations were closed. We kept serving. And I really was impressed with your leadership and everything the board did to keep the organization going when other organizations were just closing their doors and businesses were kind of on their own.
Mm-hmm. And so, yet that's when pickleball started growing.
Yeah.
It was during COVID. That's when a lot of people picked it up.
So. Yeah.
You've also been involved in the Ada Jenkins organization and served as treasurer, I think, at least 3 years that I'm aware of. How long have you been treasurer?
I'm in my sixth year. So 5 years as treasurer, and then I transitioned over this year to someone else in my last year on the board.
Okay. And Rotary, you served as chair or president of our Rotary Club in North Mecklenburg.
I have served in about every position on our board over the years and kind of took a backseat to others for a while. And now I'm back on the board.
And Bill, we've got about 30 seconds left? 30 seconds left before we go back. So favorite moment for Ada Jenkins.
Oh, gosh. There's been so many. I think right now I'm serving in a capacity where I'm teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th graders financial literacy. And it's just amazing.
That's cool.
It's an outlet that I've always wanted to do for adults and children, and it gives me that opportunity.
We're going back live. Thank you for staying with us, and we're going back live on Town Talk in just a second.
Call now to speak with Lake Norman Chamber President Bill Russell at 844-STUDIO-4. It's Town Talk on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to Town Talk. We're talking to Lauren Ewald. She's the executive director of FunPulse.org. Patrick Coleman, my oral surgeon, now retired, president of Lake Norman Pickleball Association, and Richard Pappas, senior vice president of First National Bank. And Richard, I have shared that I started my business, my banking, when I was 15 years old. I got my first job, community cash grocery store. I deposited money in Rock Hill National Bank. And then Rock Hill National Bank was eventually sold to C&S, which eventually was taken over by Nations Bank, which then became Bank of America. So my little account that I started when I was 15 years old, it's changed brands several times, still the same account. A lot of things have taken place in your industry. And you, when I met you, I guess 20-something years ago, you worked for SouthTrust.
I sure did. I worked for Woody Washam, and we were sort of new to the market. We were here, but we were based in Mooresville. We were part of the old CK Federal Savings and Loan, and so we were in Mooresville, and we kind of grew into North Mac. And so that was kind of my entree into the North Mac market. Really growing up as a Charlotte native in East Charlotte, just kind of heard about this lake place where mm-hmm. people went fishing and didn't really know a lot about it. But boy, when I came here, it was just so amazing. I used to go to business after hours in Cabarrus County, and it lasted maybe 20, 30 minutes. And we sat around, and you just basically saw bankers and the same kind of professions come up here, and there's 300 people, and everybody's drinking, you know, wine and beer and having a good time. And it became a networking social event. Love the place ever since.
And I think you also had a foray with Regions Bank at one time, weren't you?
I sure did. Okay. I was their executive there for about 8 years before taking my sabbatical for a year.
Went to Hawaii. He went to Hawaii for what, 3 years?
Just a year.
No, just a year.
Might have felt like 3 years.
Yeah, he broke the news to me. He was the chairman-elect of the Chamber of Commerce and came to me and said, I'm not going to be able to serve as chair. I'm moving to Hawaii. I'm like, what?
Yeah, to be fair, you hadn't told me that I was getting that position, but that was a bit of a surprise. But I just had to do it for my family. I was getting home late at night doing networking stuff, and my kids were growing up without me. And so I just wanted to have that family year. So I quit my job and leapt, and the net appeared. Had something that was very out of character for my wife and I. We go through analysis paralysis on every major decision. And so everyone thought we were nuts, and we did it. We homeschooled the kids in third and fifth grade. My wife taught fifth grade because she's smarter than I am, and I taught third, and we struggled through it. We didn't ruin the kids. They came back into St. Mark in the next grades and didn't miss a beat. We moved back in the same house. I was able to get a banking job, and it was just an opportunity to steal a year away from retirement. And more people should do that. I strongly recommend it.
You know, Charlotte might be the second largest financial district in the country, but I think Cornelius per capita is the banking center of the world.
Yeah.
I can't, the number of banks that we have and Cornelius alone.
Yeah. You know, we used to count the banks on Catawba. And then in 08, they started consolidating and closing, and the number got more manageable, and now they're back up again. It's crazy how many people want to come here, but they see our growth, and we're on a statistic where all these banks want to come to town. You can't blame them.
You've got 30 years into that industry, about 30?
God, don't remind me. It's about 28 years. I'm not quite there, but I'm right there.
How have you seen banking change over nearly three decades?
Again, you're making me sound so old, but anyway, thanks, Bill. It's changed a lot. We moved from being more of a commodity. People would come to us and get a product to being a relationship. Matter of fact, my position used to be called a commercial loan officer, and that's really all you did was commercial loans. And now it's a relationship manager. Uh-huh. So we manage every aspect of a business's relationship, and we look for ways outside of lending to help their cash flow. And so we've had to be more creative. We've had to be more versatile. And, you know, every bank's got green money, so we had to step up our service game. It's become different in that we had to go out and get business versus it used to come to us.
What do you enjoy most about being a business banker?
I think when it becomes tangible, when I see clients grow their practice from 1 to 5, when I see these nonprofits that I work with be able to leverage their financing to do more programs, when I see my clients prosper and eventually sell their businesses and maybe able to retire, when I see it tangible, that's when I get the most out of it. And the other aspect is banking has always been, at least the banks I've worked for, have always been really good about giving back to the community. And so I get a lot out of that when I can work with the Rotary Club and Ada Jenkins and the Chamber, organizations that give so much to the community and me professionally, I can give back to. And that's not every profession. A lot of professions, you're sitting in an office and you're not able to do that. And you've got patients all day long, so you're not able to get out and do that. My vocation is one that encourages me to get out there and give back to the community.
And speaking of giving back, you're on our foundation board. We've got a program coming up November 12th. With the foundation. Share a little bit about our Thanksgiving breakfast is coming up.
So we do a great pre-Thanksgiving breakfast, and we do it to support local children's charities. This year, we're doing it with the Little Scholars.
Cornelius Youth Scholars,
and the YMCA's after school and summer programs. And so we just try to give back to youth organizations. And so every year we kind of decide where we can most impact the community through this fundraising. And everybody kind of gets together and does it as a way to support those organizations.
Patrick, we 2 years ago had our first Thanksgiving breakfast, again, for the Lake Norman YMCA pre and after school program, raised just over $23,000 that we were able to give away through the philanthropy of the Chambers of Commerce's foundation. This past year, it was going to be again in November, and our Chambers golf tournament and the expo coming on the heels of it. It was just so many things. And Lauren, you work with nonprofits. The Chamber, we just had so many things stacked up back to back, and we just didn't have time to pull it off. So we got together the past chairs of the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber's 35 years old, and we probably had about 28 chairmen there. And together, they came up with $17,500. That we were able to give the YMCA this past go-around for their pre- and after-school program. But as Richard just talked about, this time it's going to be two. We're going to split the money between the YMCA and Cornelius Youth Scholars. And while those are the charities we're looking at in 2024, it may be somebody totally different or another organization totally different in 2025. You've been very, very active in Ada Jenkins. We just talked about that. What enticed you to get involved in Ada Jenkins?
You know, I've just went on a tour when Georgia Harris Krueger was the chairperson or the CEO of the organization years back. She was a member of our Rotary Club, and she said, "Hey, come on a tour." And wow, when you go on a tour to this day, you're amazed at the impact it has in so many facets in the community, whether it's food insecurity, English as a second language, vocation, social services. I mean, uh-huh. we're the implementation for the social services of the North. North Mac. And so there's just so many aspects of people's lives that Ada Jenkins touches, not only it's not a handout, it's a hand up.
Right.
And it's to try to help people with within economic mobility. And so it's great focus. I wanted to get involved. I started serving on the finance committee and then was asked to be on the board and serve as treasurer. I've really enjoyed it. I'm rolling off to the max term. Thank God for maximum terms, or you'd be on these organizations forever. But
it never let you go.
Right. So I end at on June 30th. But as I've told Harold and the other board members, I'm gone, but I'm not forgotten. I'm still here. I'm still doing stuff. I'm still involved. I'm still on the finance committee. And the key is to continue to stay involved, because we get more out of that than anyone else does when we're involved.
Dr. Coleman, I have urged and pleaded and begged this guy over here to run for local political office. Nope. He won't do it.
Never going
to
do it. I'm going to go on.
But he did serve on the Cornelius Land Code Committee that developed the new land code, served an integral part of that. So, and that was a process.
Don't blame me.
But talk about what you feel like your committee was able to put together when it comes to the land code.
You know, we put together some things that we thought were, I guess, pro-business, but not too over the line. And again, some people came back and said we weren't loose enough. Some people thought we should have been more restrictive. I wish we could have been less restrictive, but I think you have to have guardrails. And then you depend on those elected officials to make exceptions. And the biggest aspect that the elected officials involved kept bringing up was when a developer comes in and shows added value to the community, then we'll make the exception. And that makes sense. And so I think that's what we set up to do.
We've got less than 3 minutes left, and Bill is going to cut me off. So best business advice, Lauren, you've ever received?
Oh, gosh. Best business advice. Being honest. When somebody approaches you and they really need you to look them in the eyes and tell it to them straight, what you got to do.
Be honest. Richard, what's the best business advice you ever received or you could pass on?
You know, I think just treating people the way you want to be treated, and make sure you return that phone call even if you don't have an answer.
Dr. Coleman.
I agree. The same thing what they're saying. You know, I mean, we used to always, when we did surgery on patients, we called our patients every night. And, you know, it's just being there for them, treating them better than anybody else, and doing what's right. And it's always come back to pay dividends.
You know, Randy Marion had some advice for me years ago when he was the chamber chair. He said, if you've been in business long enough, bad things are going to happen to you. And how you react to those bad things shows your character.
Yeah.
And that was some pretty good advice.
Well, we were in like 2008, 2009 with all that. You know, a lot of people were laying people off. We never laid anybody off. We never cut salaries. My nephew had just joined the practice. We had guaranteed him a salary. We paid him every dime that we guaranteed him. And if anybody took a cut, it was my wife and I. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but we felt like that was what our business was about and what we needed to do for our employees. And we made it happen, and it turned out good.
And Richard, your year as a chairman wasn't what you were looking for. It wasn't what you thought you were going to do when we had our board retreat in November, but you're absolutely right. The Chamber of Commerce, we never shut down. We never stopped. We never quit going. So thank you for your leadership, not only in the Chamber of Commerce, but Rotary Club. And same thing, Dr. Coleman, what you do with the Davidson Rotary Club. If it's Wednesday afternoon, we're talking about our towns on Town Talk on WSIC. We'll see you next week.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville. W290DK, Mooresville. W264CU, Statesville.